it's not okay. I don't like it.
All right. Luke 1:77.
And we didn't get very far yesterday. To give the knowledge, and thou child shall be called, in 76, thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for he shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sin. We're still on remission. Let's go back again to Hebrews 9. We're going to recover some of the stuff we covered yesterday. Review. Now let's go. Let's do 10.
Hebrews 10.
Yeah, Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow or parable of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience, or the better its term is awareness, should have had no more awareness of sin. Now, there can't be anything bigger than that, because that's what remission means. The awareness, the normal state of being, is abandonment. The only time there is an awareness of other than abandonment is when you sin. Being you sin, doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you're talking about, you sin because you've left the mercy seat. You've returned to time and space. You're not believing on him. So that then becomes, boom, hopefully, boom, that's the awareness of sin, because you've left the place of where everything is complete. And that's why we talked yesterday and the day before about how we can't give breath to the process. We can only declare the finished work. Everybody understand that? Ronnie and I talked for a long time. He was really down, blah, blah, blah. He's in here, isn't he? And all of a sudden, he saw. And all of a sudden, his countenance changed, and he was happy and running around interrupting meetings and everything. Because you don't even consider the process, because you're dead. Amen? All right, and this is revealed with great particularity in the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. It's also revealed in the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was when everything was set back in order. So, but let's look at Leviticus 16. Leviticus chapter 16. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It's Genesis is the first book, Exodus is the second book, Leviticus is the third book of the Bible. No, keep your hand there, but go to John 1.
John 1.
Now, if you're interested, many scholars say that from John 19 on to John 34 was the testimony that the officials from the temple, when they came and investigated John, that those verses were the report back to the Sanhedrin about John. Anyway, it says, because 19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" But anyway, go down to verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, a male lamb was never the sin offering. It was the goat that was the sin offering. And remember, we've talked about this many times. There's a confusion about the word here. So this should be the goat. And this was done on Yom Kippur at exactly the same instant that the priest was sending out the live goat. They'd kill, just cut the neck of the one goat that was a twin, and then sent the other one out to take away the consciousness or awareness of sin for Israel. And that became the most, that and then the Kol Nidre, which followed it, became the most beloved ceremony in Judaism, because it created, with all the stuff that's been going on for the last year, now, boom, it was freedom again. But that cannot make him perfect, because it's done continually. But he, with one offering, took away the sin of the world by the goat, by being the offering of the goat offering. Amen? Amen. What?
Nothing.
Everybody understand that?
Okay. That's silly. It seems like a silly thought that it would be, wouldn't it have been quite unusual for this to happen right at the time that they were doing the goat? Wouldn't everybody... Most of the people would have been at the temple, right?
No. That was on the Yom Kippur. It wasn't a temple. I mean, it wasn't the service.
It wasn't a big deal.
No, I mean, it was a big deal for it was what was happening in each of the around the country. They all, that wasn't a pilgrimage ceremony. Do you understand that?
Yeah, it wasn't a pilgrimage feast.
All right. So now we're in verse Leviticus 16, verse 20. And we've got all these prayers. Remember, the first thing he did is the priest killed an ox. And he laid his hands on it, and he confessed his own sin and the sin of the temple and of not doing it right and all that. And then now he's going to take care of the people. And this is what's so important. In verse 20, "And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, shall he bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all of the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let the goat go in the wilderness." Anyway, we could go on and on all the way down, but this is the mystery. Why do you think in all of the ancient images of Satan, he's got the head of a goat? His name, the goat's name here, is, remember, was Azazel. What happened there?
I don't know.
And what happened at the baptism of Christ when he took away the sin of the world? The sin is a person. Sin isn't what you do. Sin is who you are. Trespass is what you do because of the nature of sin in you.
Can we not be sin?
You are sin. The only one that isn't sin is Christ. It's not that you'd want, well, I don't think I believe that. Nobody cares what you believe. The scriptures are clear. And this is why you now, we can see why whoever wrote Hebrews, I think Paul did, but anyway, that you should have no more awareness of sin because you have died. This is big. You don't have to dwell in that sin anymore. Let's go back to Luke. To give the knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sin. You can't have the knowledge of salvation if you're retaining sin. You can only have knowledge about it. It can't be mixed with you. So it's only a philosophy, and you know how I love philosophy. That's why examine yourselves. Prove to your own self. Know not your own self how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. A reprobate is one incapable of repentance. You can say, I'm sorry, till hell freezes over. That's not repentance. That's the repentance of the world. True repentance is the 100% abandonment of yourself, and you have no more. Again, sin is self. You have lost the capacity by his grace to have an awareness of self. And slowly but surely that awareness of self will just disappear. Hopefully it'll be done instantly, but that never happens because of our rebellion. But we never give any breath, any longer, to the old man. Anything that happens, nothing can happen to you because you're dead in God's eyes. The only thing that can happen as you are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. Does everybody understand what remission means now? It's the biggest deal you could ever conceive of. You have then, after this point, you have no past. And Christ is your only future. Then you say, Father, forgive me because I've resurrected the evil one from his deadly head wound. I've given breath to the Antichrist. I've given the Antichrist life. I'm the one that gives him life.
As to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, so any of the other knowledge we have,
it's goofy.
Going backwards.
It's just goofy. What? Anybody? Gary?
I just think about man loves identity. I want to be somebody so bad that I'll sacrifice life till I have an ID.
Ronnie's going through that right now.
Yeah, that's part of the questions here. It's if I don't remember my past or something, then I'm nobody, and I don't know who I am in Christ. I mean, that's, I guess, what it gets down to. If you don't know who you are in him, then you struggle with who you are in your old self, which is nothing but misery.
Right.
No lunch.
And it's not something you're going to, I'm trying to die, and you run around and repeat, I'm crucified with Christ, I'm crucified with Christ, or whatever you repeat to try to convince yourself. You consider it once and for all. You see that you died on the cross. And the sin that you did your whole life, it's no longer you that did it, it's sin that dwelleth in you. And that sin is called, his name is the son of perdition. You. Now why isn't this taught? It's taught because of what Gary said. Man wants identity. He wants the illusion of free will so he can pretend he's in control. Until you are poor, until you can't do the things that you want to do, that's the definition of poverty, and only that is who the gospel is to. You don't have to hear it. You can go on and do your own thing. Pray that time lasts long enough for you to come to the end of it. But we got to stop digging in the dirt. I mean, it's everything, present yourself a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're transfigured by the renewing of your mind, not that you learn and become, it's that you have no separation because you've totally emptied. So you don't think about, well, where's God, or what's going on, or poor me, or it's gone. But that's not what's taught. Now it's taught, and what every man wants is self-realization in the name of God. And that is a big, that approaches the unforgivable sin. Because you're trying to use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. Oh, but I didn't know. Well, you did internally, but you just kept on acting. Any response to any of this? I didn't know I was going to go on a rant today. But
I didn't either.
You would have stayed home.
I was thinking that that scapegoat is for Azazel because it's of Azazel.
It is Azazel.
So it's like it's sent out for Azazel because it's returning to its identity.
Right. This next sign that we're studying of the original meaning of the zodiac is Capricornus. The front half of the body is a goat with his arm under him and head, his dying goat. And the back half of him is a fish, live with tail wagging. Well, that's another parable of this mystery. That which is in you, which is of the goat, died. Now that which is of the fish, or of the new creation, typified in the fish. And that's why we soon will be in the age. Anyway, it's going to go there. But and the fish, if you think about it, even while they're yet alive, the fish they have no idea where they're going. They just aren't running around. They move as one. But it's, anyway, that's too big to get into right now. This is so important, guys. Otherwise, you're just going to be confused by your mind your whole life. You're going to try to win the battle. John, any additions? Subtractions? Anybody? I mean, this is nuts. This stuff is absolutely nuts. You're a fool to listen to it. Unless you've come to the end of yourself.
Well, it's too late now. You hurry.
No, I told you many times, but I didn't think, after the conversion experience, I said, my God, nobody's gonna ever believe any of this. Then I started reading the Bible, and that's all the Bible says. I said, what happened? A bunch of people are reading the same Bible I am. Where'd they get all this crap? And I'm not going to talk about this anymore. I'm just going to be quiet.
Keep it to yourself.
That didn't work out too well. That's why if somebody says they want to teach, they're an abject fool and shouldn't. Ha, Pete. Gary, where are you?
I'm always overwhelmed by the simplicity. Thousands of words, but the simplicity is what...
Always the same message.
It's the same message, and it's like, in him you're complete, outside of him you're wallowing in your sin, but in him you're complete. Well, why don't you just go there? You know, and I think this thing about you have to give up who you are. That has to die, and you have to let it die, reckon it dead, whatever.
It's dead. You have to reckon it dead.
Reckon it dead. And then in him, I guess the clue is you got to know who you are in him and who he is in you.
Well, it's yet not I, always, yet not I. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that liveth. Yet not I, yet not I.
You're not there. You're always trying to build an identity.
Sure.
For your own...
And it's so seminal that it can't be comprehended if you're still trying to have an identity.
That's where faith comes in, because you'll say, since I understand this, then I'll do it. Like you'll try and figure it out with your mind. And
it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's a great gulf that your mind cannot get there.
Right. And if you get to that point of acceptance of that reality, then you can let go.
I hope.
Stop trying to, make sense of it.
Yeah, and you still screw up. Yeah. But the blood of Christ is always there. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
But you don't. The battle isn't your constant being. If there's ever a battle, it's a rare thing, because you've seen the scapegoat. You've seen the remission of sin. You've seen the self is dead. You don't have to play in that ball game anymore. You automatically forgive everybody from the heart. And you don't. There's no dwelling on the past. There's no concern for the future. There's only him. And that's all I've preached for all these years, in a thousand different ways. Amen? I mean, face it. Some of you, when you first heard it, thought I was crazy. Some of you still do.
I used to think that you were a crazy wild man.
Now you just think I'm a wild man?
Was that 10 minutes ago?
Who is it? Ronnie. All righty, take it, big guy.